But today we're starting a series, the Riches of Heaven Prosperity Series. We're starting today. Now you might be asking, Ted, why is a church starting a prosperity series the very first thing that they're doing when they're coming to a bigger venue? Why would they do a prosperity? Isn't there more important things that God wants us to know about? What about our salvation? What about our health? Doesn't he want to talk about those kind of things too? The reason I chose a prosperity series, though, is because a lot of times the number one complaint people have with churches nowadays, I think, they say that there's not a message that's, the message is not practical. How do I apply it in my life? Well, I can tell as I look around at you guys out here, I'll bet you every single one of you had to buy something. Am I right here? I bet most of you had to pay rent or a mortgage or a car payment. And I bet most of you ran into a situation at one time or another where you didn't have enough money. And you felt like, darn it, if I had that money, I could do something amazing with it. Maybe you had a dream in your heart, something that you were pursuing that God put there, and you wanted to fulfill that dream, but you felt like you were stopped because you just didn't have the finances and you just couldn't see any way to do it. And so you just said, I guess that dream just can't happen. I guess I have to let it go. I want you to know that as we go through this series, what you're going to be learning is what God wants for you. There are some misunderstandings. So today what I want to cover is I want to really clear up any misunderstandings or any notions that say that God doesn't want you to be prosperous. You might have got that belief. There's a lot of gossip and misinformation out there telling you, and I think a lot of it comes from other religions and other beliefs, because there's a lot of religions and a lot of beliefs that say that if you're going to be spiritual, you have to be broke. Have you heard about those? They live in poverty. They think that that's the way, if you're going to be spiritual, you have to have absolutely nothing. So they live in the middle of nowhere, under a tree somewhere. They have raggedy clothes, and they don't have any possessions, and they don't have any money. And this is what spirituality means. But that's not what spirituality means to God. And that's not what God wants for us in our life. I want you to know very clearly in your mind, and by the time we're done today, I'm hoping that this will be very clear in your mind, that God wants you to prosper. Throughout the scripture, God talks about abundance, increase, blessing. Blessing, increase, abundance. He doesn't talk about that just because he has nothing else to talk about. He talks about it because that's his dream for you. He wants you to have everything that you possibly want and need in your life so that you can fulfill your dreams and your plans. And God has already given you all the supplies and all the abundance that you need. What's required now is for us to believe that God has given it. And when we start to believe it and be open to receive it, then it begins to come into our lives in amazing and powerful ways. So we need to really understand that God wants us to be financially free so that we can do amazing things. In my household, that was not the belief that they had. They had a belief about God that said you were spiritual if you were poor. And they had a couple of quotes that they would use from the Bible to uphold that and say, yep, that's what God wants. And they were really misquotes. One was, money is the root of all evil. You might have heard this. I'll tell you, if I heard this once, I heard this a million times. My family would say this, they would repeat this. I mean, if I ever got it into my head that I was going to be successful and make some money, or started thinking, oh, wow, I'm going to have a great life, my father or mother would say, money is the root of all evil. And I'd be like, oh, gee. So I can't be successful, and I can't make a living, and I can't do something great. The other one that they would say is, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Well, if that's what you're believing, and the number one goal that you're working with God is, I mean, the highest level is, one day I'd hope to get into heaven. That'd be a great thing. And if it says a rich man can't get into heaven, that means I can't be rich. That kind of sucks. And these were the two quotes that my parents would use all the time, and they lived on it. I'll tell you, if money is the root of all evil, I can tell you that my family were saints. Because there was no money in that house. We didn't have to worry about any evil creeping in there. I'll tell you right now, we had no problem with that. But that made it hard. I found the one thing that I learned about being poor when we were growing up, and we were poor. I never starved, thankfully, and I think that was partially because of my mother's creative shopping. She could seem to stretch a dollar a long way. And we also lived on a farm, so we were growing our own food. So thankfully, we never went hungry. But I'll tell you, there were other problems with not having money. You know, I never had any new clothes. I always had hand-me-downs from my brother, or hand-me-downs from the neighbors or somebody in the community. So I was wearing these pants with big patches on the knees all the time because my mother had sewed them on there. You know, and the only new clothes I would get are these sweaters that my grandmother would knit. They were like these sweater vests. And they'd be in all these festive kind of Christmas colors, you know, very busy. And then I would have these pants that my mother would sew, and she would sew them out of some sort of stretchy material with all kinds of patterns and designs on them. I'll tell you, if you know anything about design and getting dressed, there's no way you can coordinate those pants with those vests. They just don't go together. And these are the kind of clothes that get you beat up in school. And I'm telling you from firsthand experience that when I went to school, dressed like that, the kids had a field day. They had a good time making fun of Ted when he went to school, the way he was dressed. And it was the same way with my glasses. You know, I wore glasses since I was a kid, and when I was in school, unfortunately, I was a pretty active kid, and those glasses would get broke. They were made of plastic back then, and they'd always break right here. My parents couldn't afford to buy another pair of glasses, so what did I do? I put tape on them. You know what they call the kid with tape on his glasses right here in the middle? Geek, dork, whatever. So again, the kids had a great time. The one thing I learned, you know, growing up with this belief about poverty is that it's hard. If you're living in that kind of mentality, and you know, it also sabotaged everything we tried to do. I even noticed it with my father. Because my father had this belief that you couldn't worship and have a relationship with God and be financially secure, he was forever sabotaging himself. You know, we lived on a farm. We had a lot of different vehicles and equipment. And whenever it would come time to sell something, if something needed to be sold, I noticed he always sold it for the same price. It didn't matter what it was. If we had a car that was worth $2,000, he would sell it for $500. If we had a tractor that was worth $7,000, he would sell it for $500. If we had a truck that was worth $5,000, he would sell it for $500. Every single time, even though it was valued so much greater, he would only ask $500. Now, maybe that was the only number he knew. I don't know. But he always was, as a result of this, and at first I thought, well, he's a nice guy. He just wants to give them a good deal. But I really believe it goes back to these understanding he had about money. And this is something I want us to change our attitude about finances and about money and relationship with God. And I want us to understand the correct way that God wants us to think about finances. And if we can understand that correctly, the abundance that God has laid up for us, listen to me, God has already laid up the abundance for us. The money, the prosperity, everything you need to succeed has already been stored up by God, given by God to you, and it's waiting to be received. And what we need to do is change our attitude and change our understanding so that we can begin to receive what God wants to give us. Now, let's go back to these two quotes, because these were misquotes that my parents and a lot of other people are using. And if you keep living by these misquotes, you'll keep thinking the wrong thing about God. So I want to take a closer look at them. The first one is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Now, my parents were saying, money is the root of all evil. Let's see what Timothy said. He says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, that back part there, it says all kinds of evil. That means all. Every kind of evil. It's the root of it. But let's look at the beginning. It says, the love of money. Now, that changes the whole thing. It's not about the money. The money is not the problem. Riches are not the problem. It's when we make it the love, the sole focus, or our main focus, or our first focus. If we're always thinking about money, if we're always driven by money, if every decision we make is based on money, now we've got a problem. And if the first thing we're thinking about in our life is money, we've got a problem, because God wants us to think about Him first. Love God, love people. That's the priority. So this is a priority issue. God wants us to get our priorities straight and know that it's God first, not money. If we have it being about money, and that's what happens when our heart is filled with a love of money, then everything is driven by that. We want to be driven by God, motivated by God, and shifted by God. So this verse here that says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil is not saying that money is evil. It's saying if we get our priorities mixed up, if we suddenly get driven. You know who is driven by money more than anybody else? Poor people. You know why? Because they got to think about where they're going to get the money for their food. They got to think about where they're going to get the money for the rent. They got to think about where they're going to get the money for the clothes and pay the bills. They're thinking about money 24/7 because the debt guys are calling on the phone. They're the ones that are focused on it so much. So it's not those that have, it's those that lack that are focused on it too much in the wrong way. And there are people that have a lot that focus on it too. But let's get past that point. I want this verse to stick out in your mind now that it's the love. It's whatever the love that's there, and it should be the love of God first. It's a priority issue is what we're talking about. Put God first place in your life, and then everything else will fall into place. Let's go to this camel one. Now, my parents were quoting, and they were saying, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Wow, I'm just picturing that camel trying to go through an eye of a needle, and that's easier than a rich man getting in. Now, by that saying, you think, wow, no rich man is ever going to get into heaven. And that prevents you from receiving the abundance that God wants to give you. But let me read how it's actually written. This is from Mark chapter 10, verse 23. And I'm going to read verse 25. This is the one it says. Now listen carefully. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now they quoted that right. But let's think about the context in which this was said. Jesus said these words. These words were read in my Bible, which means Jesus was saying them. But the context was, it was a young man that had come to Jesus and said, how do I get into heaven? And this man claimed that he had followed all the commandments, he had lived up to all of them, but Jesus knew this man was very wealthy and rich, but he also knew that he put more trust in the riches that he had than in God. And if we go back one verse to verse 24, here's what Jesus said right before he said about the camel. And we often forget this. He says, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. See, again here, it's not about a rich man not being able to get into heaven. It's a priority issue. He says, if you put your trust in riches, we shouldn't be putting our trust in riches or finances. We should be putting our trust in God. Again, it's a priority issue. This young man that Jesus was speaking to had a problem with where his priorities were. His riches were first, then God. You can't get into heaven if you don't have your priorities straight. We need to have God first place in our life. There's nothing wrong with the riches. Now, what was interesting about this is Jesus, the disciples, were They were kind of shocked by what he said, because the disciples are extremely rich men. That might surprise you, because most people picture these disciples, they got these raggy robes on, and they're wandering around the streets following Jesus. And normally they're portrayed, it looks like a bunch of hippies out there on the street. That's not the way they were at all, though. If we think of Peter, the disciple, Peter was an extremely wealthy man. Peter owned 80% of the fishing fleet in Galilee. 80%! He had a monopoly almost on that entire industry of fishermen. That made him extremely, extremely wealthy. He was very wealthy. So this is why they were shocked when they heard him say that, because he realized, uh-oh, I'm rich. But as Jesus explained, what he's explaining to them, and they understood that it wasn't about their riches. It was about that priorities. Put God first place. And Peter spoke up. He said something. He said, hey, God, I left everything to follow you. Meaning, I put my priorities in order. I put you first. And here's what Jesus said to him after he said that. He said, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time? And so what Jesus was saying, I should have read a little bit more on there, but Jesus was saying that you let whatever you left behind to follow me, not only will you have that, you'll already have what you have, but I will give you a hundredfold, meaning 100 times what you have. You will receive 100-fold. And listen to when he said it. He said, you'll have 100-fold now. When is now? When is now? Now. Now is now. Now is right now. Not later. And he said, now. And even to impress that, he said, now in this time. Now. Now means now, right here, today. Because too often people, when we start talking about God wanting us to have riches, people say, oh, well, Ted, he doesn't mean now. He means when we're in eternal heaven, then we'll have riches. We'll walk on streets of gold, and then we'll have riches. No, Jesus says, you will not only have... He's talking to Peter. As he says, Peter's a very rich guy. He said, not only will you have what you have now, you'll have 100-fold now in this time. So he would increase his wealth and his abundance and his prosperity, and it wouldn't be in the life to come, it would be right now. So for each of you, I want you to know that God wants you to have prosperity and abundance and increase now, not later. He goes on to say, and in the age to come, eternal life. So you'll have riches now and later. But we often take off the now. We need to understand that God wants us to have that abundance now in our lives today. So as we can see from these two quotes, misquotes, the way my parents were using them, it's a priority issue. We want to put God first place in our life. And if we have God first place in our life, then we'll have everything else. And it states that in Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if we seek first God, all that other stuff will be added to you. It's a matter of just having your priorities straight. So one of the keys for us to have abundance is get our priorities straight and know that God is first place in our life. Also know, though, God wants us to have abundance. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have everything we need and more to fulfill our dreams so that we can do all the things. God understands that while we're in this physical life, you cannot do things if you don't have the resources you need. You cannot pursue the dreams, build the businesses, if you don't have the resources. You need to have the resources. And God wants you to have the resources. I want you to understand before you leave here, God wants you to have the resources in all ways. So it's a matter of changing our understanding. If you grew up in a house like I did, and I hope none of you grew up in a house like that, but if you did, We have to change our understanding of what God wants for us. We got to know His promises. We got to understand His promises in greater ways. Now, one of the things is that we're not accumulating vast amounts of wealth and riches. We're not just accumulating it so we can just pile it up. Okay? Because I know some people, they say, well, Ted, I don't need a lot. I don't need a lot. All I need is if I have my rent paid and my car paid and my bills paid, then I'm fine. That's all I need. Now, the problem with this is a very selfish attitude because it's your house that you want paid. It's your car that you want paid. It's your bills that you want paid. You're only thinking of yourself. God has a much bigger plan for you than that. He's not just thinking of you. He wants to give you abundance. He wants to give you extra, not just for you, but so that you can take care of other people. Think about it this way. What if you had enough to pay your rent and everybody else on your entire block? What if you had enough not only to pay for your own food, but everybody else that was hungry? You see, God thinks on a much bigger scale. So when we start talking, oh, I just want to get my needs met, we're actually starting to get into a very selfish mode. God is not thinking like that. He is thinking of us having abundance, not to store it up for ourselves, but so that we can send it out to others. My reason for accumulation is distribution. My reason for accumulation is distribution, meaning I want to have abundance, and I want to have above and beyond what I need, not so I can bury it in the ground somewhere or squirrel it away, but so that I can do greater things in my life to help other people, however God directs me to help those people. If it's feeding hungry, if it's paying for rent, you know, whatever it is. If it's buying that single mother that has two children a car so she can take her kids to school and get to work, I want to have extra so I can do that. So it's not just so that I can continue to build up my own life, but so that I can reach out and assist others in greater ways. So understand that that's where God is coming from. He wants you to have more. So if you're in that mentality, well, I just want to have enough to get my needs, get past that. You need to get past that because you're thinking in a very selfish way. Start to think in a bigger level like God is thinking. Start knowing He wants you to be able to assist others. He said to help the poor. One thing I've learned, if you are poor, you can't help the poor. If you only have enough to meet your own needs, how are you going to give to somebody else who has a need? Now you're only going to have half as much. God doesn't want you to lack anything. He wants you to lack nothing. So you can't give it away if you don't have enough. You've got to have extra. God wants you to have extra so that you have enough to give and share with somebody else. That's how you help the poor. That's how you help the needy, by God giving you abundance above and beyond. It says here in Deuteronomy 8:18, God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. That's one of the promises of God. God gives you the power to get wealth. That's where the wealth comes from. That's why when we seek first God, He adds all those other things to it. When we have our priorities straight, God can increase our abundance. He can increase our prosperity. And He can change it in amazing ways. I have another one here in Proverbs. Let me get to it. This is Proverbs chapter 10, and we're looking at verse 22. And again, this is God speaking. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. That's a nice thought. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. See, like this idea where they were misquoting this one about the rich man not being able to get into heaven. That means God would make you rich, but now He gives you a problem because you can't get into heaven. That's adding sorrow. But it says here in Proverbs, He's not going to add any sorrow to it. He's going to make it easy for you. He's going to make it a blessing for you. He's going to put you in a position where you can be a blessing. God wants you to have abundance. He wants you to have all the resources you need to pursue your dreams and to help other people. I don't know if any of you have been watching this TV series, Downton Abbey. Have any of you been watching? It's on a PBS program. It's on Masterpiece Classics. Liza and I have been enjoying watching this, and it's about this family that live in this large estate. It looks like a castle, basically. So this family lives there, and they have incredible wealth. And at first, you just see all the wealth that they have. But as we watch the program, what you begin to see is how they really are thinking about other people and doing a lot for the community. Like, for example, one of them was saying how it's our responsibility to provide employment. They understood by being that person that has the wealth that it's my responsibility to help others out, provide employment, and they employed a lot of people. There were people in the kitchen and people in the fields and people, chauffeurs and butlers and footmen and all kinds of different jobs that they had provided for people. And they understood, that's my job to do that. They also were the ones that put up the money for the local hospital. They had the finances. Nobody else would have put up that money for that hospital, but they were able to do it. And the school. And when the wartime came, it's set in the 1920s, this series, by the way, but before that, they had the World War I, just before that. And during that time, these people chose to turn their house into a place like a hospital to help soldiers recover. Again, they had all these finances and all this abundance, and here they're able to do a lot of good in the community. As a result of their work, they're providing employment, they're providing schooling, they're providing hospitals and health care, all these other things that they're able to do. We're able to do far more when we're put in a position of financial prosperity for our community and for our country when we're in that kind of situation. And that's what God wants for each and every single one of you. I want you to know in your heart without a doubt that God loves you and God wants you to prosper, and He has already put it up for you. It's laid out for you to receive and to have. And you just got to believe it now and begin to speak it. Put God first place in your life and you will have it. You will receive it. If any of you have been struggling with prosperity, I want you to make a commitment today to come back for the next 4 weeks so that we can continue to talk. Because we got many more things we want to clear up about prosperity and how to receive it. And we're going to talk about it in these issues. If you know any family or friends or coworkers that have been saying, I'm having trouble making ends meet. Man, this economy's beating me up. If you hear people talking like that, you tell them, come. Come to Golden Heart at Castle Heights. Because right now, and come right now, because they're doing this series, and it's going to help you. I'm going to make a bold statement. Those of you that come through the entirety of this series, you're going to see a shift in your life. You're going to see abundance begin to pour in. Finances are going to increase. And you're going to have a whole new perspective on how to walk with God and receive the abundance that He has promised you. I guarantee that. Because I know if you put it into action, and this is an important point, because the Word of God isn't just about entertainment. And I know we get used to being entertained, don't we? You know, we sit in front of the TV so that we're entertained in the evening. We go to movies and we sit back and we watch the show and we're entertained. So it's very natural to come here, you sit down, and it's like watching TV. Ted's up there entertaining me. But there's more to it than that. It's not just about entertainment. We've got to put it into action. We need action. And what I'm talking about today requires action of letting go of old beliefs. If you grew up in a house like mine or with beliefs like that, that you can't be spiritual and financially prosperous, you've got to release those beliefs. If you've got a poverty mentality, you've got to kick it to the curbside, because God wants you to have a rich man mentality. He wants you to have abundance and prosperity.